Thank you, Prem. Thank you, Ganesh. And dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashantinilam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and the month of November has begun. This is the first Thursday and so many more Thursdays are going to arrive to fill us with joy till it culminates on that phantasmagoric Monday, November 23rd, 2015. Yes, Prashanti is gearing up for this big event. Most of the buildings have been painted. You will see all Bhagwan's institutions looking so fresh and so new. There are so many surprises waiting for the devotees. I'm not going to reveal them now, but I can assure you that Prashanti will acquire such a lightful and delightful look 1 week from now. We will find so many corners of the ashram looking absolutely different. The whole ashram will don a new attire. And I mean it. The Sai Sannidhi will look different. The Sai Kunath Hall will appear new. The Hillview Stadium, the Vidyagiri Stadium, will be converted into a beautiful tapestry of His love. Everywhere you will be in awe seeing the beautiful manifestations of the love of the devotees. This pure love of Bhagwan, now so beautifully reciprocated by the pure love of the devotees to Bhagwan. So many have been working behind the scenes for so many months. The Vidyavahini team, for example, is working hard for a mega celebration before November 18th. Huge floats and huge posters. It is going to be a celebration of children showing their gratitude to Bhagwan. Children from all over the country. After November 18 begins, each day will be a day which will give us sleepless nights of ecstasy, because we are going to see the glory of Sai that we have not seen before. It is going to be truly the grandest celebration that we have seen till now. And as I said, every devotee is thinking, what can I do for my Swami? What is it that I should do for my Swami? I remember in summer course of 2002, Bhagwan told the students, God is giving you so much. Looking at the boys and the girls, Swami said, you are getting free education, free medical aid, free water. Forget all this. The Lord Almighty is speaking to you so freely. He is moving about you. He is giving Himself to you. And everything, even this, is coming to you free. Absolutely free. And Swami said, how do you express your gratitude for all these that you are receiving? Then He Himself gave the answer. And Swami said, if you want to show your gratitude to Me, give up your ego. That is point number one. And point number two, spread happiness like I do. Can you give up your ego and spread happiness like I do? That is the way you can express your gratitude to Me. Swami said, this will be the right thing to do. And Bhagwan went on to sing a Telugu poem. We said, that heart which You have given Me, O Lord, I give it back to You, O Mighty One. What else can I offer You, My Master? I offer My prayerful salutations with tears of gratitude. Accept them with all My heart. I give My heart back to You. Swami says, if you do not express gratitude, you actually don't deserve to be called a human being. Swami says, your tears of gratitude will liberate you from all problems. You will become blissful with cheerful smiles. That is what will happen if you constantly express your gratitude to God. And then Bhagwan went on to narrate a story and said, there was once a devotee of Lord Krishna who spent his time ceaselessly contemplating on Krishna's name, but he had a problem. Because Krishna is depicted in various ways in different pictures, so he was all the time wondering which form to select while contemplating on Lord Krishna. He could not decide because there are so many pictures of Krishna and He looks beautiful in all of them. But then he thought, you know, all these photographs are artificially created ones. These are the imaginations of different artists, different painters. And then he said to himself, all these crowns and jewels that the artists adorn the Lord with, they are all the creations of these people who hold the brush and the paint. They do not know the true form of the Lord. They are not his true form. And he said, the true nature of Lord is bliss. The true nature is that he is ever smiling. The true nature is that he is always making others smile. He is always blissful and he presents bliss to others every moment. Ananda Maya Bhagava. He Prema Maya Bhagava. That is what the Lord is, Anandamaya Bhagavan. He is not only happy every moment, he is making others happy. This is the true hallmark of Krishna, this devotee of Lord Krishna concluded. And this is so true of Sai Krishna. This is the true hallmark of Krishna and Sai Krishna. Be happy and make others happy. This is the give and take philosophy. If this is what we need to practice, if you want to offer our gratitude to Bhagavan, Swami says, give bliss and then you will receive more bliss. Give bliss and accept bliss in return. This is the only true form of gratitude you can express to God. Can we add one smile on another face? Can we ensure that the bud of smile on another's countenance just blossoms and blooms into a beautiful, full-hearted smile? In fact, Bhagavan went on to explain in that discourse, without expressing your gratitude, you cannot aim to please God with anything that you may do. And Swami said, when you go and see the God in your temple, when you go and see your presiding deity, smile. Give him a smile. Don't stand there with a frowning face. With a serious face, you can never hope to experience bliss. You must always be happy because bliss is your nature. Bhagavan said, we can never attain to march on the spiritual path with a castor oil face. As Bhagavan used to say, the first mark of a spiritual person is his bright, beautiful smile. A smile where his heart speaks. Where his heart, blooming heart shows on the face. And Swami says you should smile and you should be happy because that is a true nature. Isn't that so true? If we are walking on the road and if we find a person crying, we want to go and ask what happened. If it is a friend, he's crying, you want to go and ask him, what happened, friend? What is bothering you? Why are you crying? What is it that I can do for you? Don't cry. But suppose you are walking on the road and your friend crosses your path and smiles. You smile back. We don't ask 100 questions. Why are you smiling? Hari, what is wrong with you? Why are you smiling? What is this? We don't ask these questions because smile is something very natural to us. That is what we should be doing at every moment, and that is why we do not feel that anything is unnatural. If someone is smiling, if a child smiles, we are all going to ecstasy. But if a baby cries, the whole house is in despair. Everyone is wondering, why is the baby crying? Why is the baby crying? But no one asks if the baby smiles. They feel that is the natural thing for the baby to do. The baby should smile. And that is how Bhagavan also was as a baby. When Bhagavan came out of the womb of Mother Isharama, he smiled. He did not cry like other kids, because that is what is God. He is bliss. And that is what Bhagavan wants us to be at every moment of our lives. Swami says, always maintain a pleasant smile on your face. You may face problems and difficulties, but if you want to express your gratitude to God, always keep that smile brimming on your face. And in fact, as Bhagwan said, my life is my message. This is what we saw in Bhagwan. This is what Bhagwan is. This is what Bhagwan epitomized all his life. And today, we are going to dwell on this aspect of Bhagwan. The bliss that he is and the bliss that he showered us, and along with it, how he always, always, always taught us precious lessons. Every moment when he made us smile, he also made us learn. Every moment he made us laugh, he made us learn. Every moment he wanted us to grow, he did it in a manner that we don't feel the pain of it. We just smile and we grow. So this is what we are going to discuss today, as we begin this month of November, the blissful month of November, the month which is going to fill us with so much bliss. And here is an opportunity for us to fill others' lives with bliss.
Tune into Sai. Spend the day with Sai. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. The time in the studios now is 8:50. And as I was telling you, today we are going to immerse ourselves in bliss. We are going to talk about humor. We are going to talk about how Bhagwan is that beautiful Ananda Swarupa, and how he taught us profound lessons through pure humor. Sometime back, I read in a tiny booklet about the qualities of a child, and it said there are three things that a child is specialized in, which it can demonstrate at any time, and which are worthy of emulation by the adults and the aged. So what are these three great things? First, to be happy for no reason. This is a specialization of a little one. And so true is it. It is, isn't it? How true it is for any child, and how true it is with Swami. No one has ever seen a worried Swami or an unhappy Swami. Swami was always blissful because he did not need a reason to be happy. Just like a happy-go-lucky child, he always was happy. In fact, I remember on birthdays when devotees used to wish him happy birthday, Swami, and Swami, every time Swami would remark, I am always happy, I don't need an occasion to be happy. All these occasions are purely for your happiness, you be happy. I am always happy. I don't need a birthday to feel happy. Every occasion is an occasion for you to experience happiness and joy. Effortlessly, ceaselessly, without any reason, to smile. That is what is Swami, and that is what it is with every child. So this is the specialization of every child. So let's move to the second. It is said the second specialization of every child is to be always busy with something. And that again, if the child is active, if you have a little one in a house and if he's not sleeping, then you will find that he's all the time busy. He's all the time up to something, and he wants full attention, and he wants that he should be always engaged. And we have seen that with Bhagwan. We have never seen Bhagwan rest. Is there anyone who has seen Bhagwan rest? Bhagwan knows no rest. Bhagwan always said, change of work is rest. In fact, when someone suggested to Bhagwan, Swami, why didn't you take some rest? Swami said, if I wanted rest, then why do you think I came down taking this human form? Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, there is no reason for me to work. I don't have any duties. I don't have any obligation to work. But I work. I work because I want to demonstrate to you how you should always be engaged. And that is what we saw in Bhagwan. We never ever saw him sitting doing nothing. Even when we thought he was doing nothing, we know he was doing a million things all the time. Swami said, if I wanted rest, why would I come down taking this human form? And the third thing that a child can teach us is to know, and this is interesting, is to know how to demand with all his right what he desires. A child knows how to demand what he wants. He will cry, he will bring the roof down, but he will, whatever he wants it. He'll demand it. And if you see, that is how it was with Bhagwan too. Whatever Swami will, whatever Swami desired, he demanded it. But what is it that Swami ever asked from anyone? If you think deep, it was always, always, always only love. Because he felt that is what he can ask with all his right. Because Swami used to always say, love is not your property. It is something which you have acquired from me. And you have to return it to me. I have all right, all the rights to ask it back. And that is the only thing that I want. And everything that he gave us, everything that he does for us, as Bhagavan says, I give you what you want so that you may want what I want to give you. Until we fulfill his demand of giving this love to him, he will work. He will work tirelessly, ceaselessly. He knows how to change this direction of love that we have from the worldward to Godward. In fact, if you are someone who was fortunate to observe Bhagwan at close quarters or be with him for some time, you would have definitely had the chance to see that child in Bhagwan. I just talked about three interesting characteristics of a little one. If you have seen Bhagwan, Bhagwan was so much childlike. When God comes down in human form, you can see how childlike, how innocent and how pure he is. For example, when you see a child, when you see a kid, when it encounters a new object or he sees something fascinating, what would the kid do? The kid would look at it, you know, with big eyes. And then once he found out something and once he discovered something, then he would go around showing it to everybody, talking about it to everyone, you know, in his own language and in its own excitement, until he's tired or until he finds something else which is more interesting. Isn't it? You will not believe Bhagwan also, in his human form, was so much childlike. Once an elderly member of the Sai family got a brochure to Swami. And that brochure had Swami's plans of building primary schools for the poor children in and around Puttaparthi. Inside this brochure, there was a particular picture which showed a little girl. And this little girl was sitting in the corner of a dark and decrepit room. But the room was not totally dark because there was a beam of light coming from the ceiling and falling on the little girl, making her bright and resplendent. So it was a very aesthetic picture. A beam of light coming and falling there and making the little girl look so beautiful. And that picture sought to graphically convey the message of Educare program of Bhagwan, how it is driving away the ignorance and the neglect of the little children of Puttaparthi, and how it is providing them this light of education, how it is bringing so much of light and color and beauty and brightening and lightening the lives of these poor little children. When Bhagwan saw that picture, he was so fascinated, he was so excited, that he kept looking at it, admiring it again and again, and then you know what? He got up, took that picture, and he went to everyone. And he kept on talking about this picture. He kept showing this picture. And not only that, explaining to everyone what is the inner import of that picture and how someone has thought about it so beautifully and how this picture conveyed this idea of lightening and brightening the hearts of little ones. He went on and on with a childlike enthusiasm and excitement showing everyone around. When you see Bhagwan, when you see this Bhagwan, you cannot but marvel. You cannot but... Your heart just becomes so soft. You are living with the colossus of purity. You are living with a being who is so transparent, who is so pure. Once when a large group of children from England visited Bhagwan. This happened in 1978. And they had brought 7 sacks of presents for Bhagwan. Of course, these were gifts to be given to the needy. And when they presented all these sacks to Swami, Swami actually took out every object from these sacks. He examined all the gifts, and there were all sorts of things. There were teddy bears, toy trains, cars, even clothes pegs, and you know, there was some breakfast cereal, a variety of things. And Bhagwan, as he was taking them out, you know what he was saying? Oh, you brought this for me. Oh, this is also for me. Oh, this teddy bear is for me. Oh, this toy train. Oh, this also is for me. Every time he took one gift out, this is how he was exclaiming. So all this large group of children, you don't know how excited they were, how thrilled they were, because Bhagwan was so much in delight. Looking at everything that they had got, Bhagwan was seemingly in ecstasy, and every child was filled with joy. Actually did not stop with that. Bhagwan then took all the children from England, and he took them to the garden. And you know what he did? For their amusement, he took a beautiful tiny shiny rabbit from the sack, and he put that rabbit on his crown of hair. And he was just laughing. He was actually becoming a joker, just so that he can give delight to these children. There was this tiny shiny rabbit sitting on the crown of Bhagwan's hair, and Bhagwan with his beautiful beatific smile and whole ambience, the whole crowd of children just regaling in glee. When among children, I am a child. And so beautifully he has demonstrated this. How he becomes one. When he was with students, he becomes a child. We have seen that on so many occasions. And what to say about the playful nature of Bhagwan. There are so many such instances, which to narrate and which to exclude. Each one is so charming, so enchanting. Shall we talk about how he used to throw snowballs at other members of the group who had the privilege of visiting the Himalayas with him in the 60s? They actually were playing with snowballs with Swami in the Himalayas. Or shall we discuss about that incident when Swami entered Professor Kasturi's house from the back door and suddenly came from behind him and covered his eyes with his hands, saying, "Guess who? This is what Bhagwan is. This is what Bhagwan did." On another occasion, there was a devotee by name P.V. Krishnamurti. Swami loved this family. Swami loved the mother of P.V. Krishnamurti, and they were those early devotees who used to had one place to stay inside the ashram. This is way back in the 50s, in the days of the Pathamandram, old Mandir days, and there were one or two rooms, and Bhagwan, nobody knew when Bhagwan would enter these rooms and come out. And one day when this lady was actually in the kitchen, the mother of Mr. P.V. Krishnamurti, she was making vadas, masala vadas. And as she was busy, someone came from behind and, you know, covered her eyes. And she thought it is one of her children who were doing a prank on her. And she shouted, and why are you disturbing me? You know, I have got this thing to do for Swami, and you guys, why do you children disturb me and all that? And suddenly she turned her. And she was like shocked. Oh, Swami, it's you. And you know what Swami said? Swami said, the smell of your masala vadas, very good. It was as if he was drawn to that room by the smell of that masala vadas. That is the playful Swami. That is the Swami that perhaps many do not know, but that is what is Swami. He just was in bliss. He always wanted everyone to be in bliss. On one occasion, Bhagwan awarded the students when he arrived in Vrindavan. It was the end of March one year. And all the students were tensed. What happened? Why Swami? They had seemingly not done anything that was perhaps an act of indiscipline or something that would have displeased Bhagwan. But Swami came. It was the last day of March. They are so happy Swami has finally come to Vrindavan. But Swami is avoiding all the students. He's not talking to them. And every student, you know, they all went back. You know, they were all doing a lot of soul searching. And coming back to Bhagwan, so the next day, Swami, they told Swami, forgive Swami and all that. When they went to Swami with teary-eyed and with prayers, Swami, become the Swami that we always know you. You know what Swami did? He just mischievously smiled and said, April Fool! That day was April 1st, and that is how Bhagwan wanted to fill the hearts of the students with bliss. These are the moments of bliss. Yes, it is bliss. These are not happiness, because these are happiness with God. This is not happiness with friend. This is not happiness with the family. This is not happiness watching a movie. This is the moments of happiness with God. So every moment is a moment of bliss. There was another incident which Professor Kasturi very beautifully mentions in his autobiography, Loving God, how Bhagwan once called him and said, I need to take a very important photograph of yours, because Professor Kasturi, Swami said, because, you know, there is this newspaper which has such huge readership, Hyderabad, and they want to know who is the editor of Sanatan Sarthi. And they want a picture of yours and an introduction about you, and I'm going to take that picture. So Kasturi, please come prepare. And we know how Professor Kasturi goes back to his room, and he, you know, he comes back starched and properly shaved, and he comes in his best attire, new kurta, dhoti, and with a big truthful grin, he stands there in front of Bhagwan. Swami says, are you ready? Ready, steady, I'm going to take a picture. Give a beautiful smile, and are you... Can I take the picture? And he says, yes, Swami. And he gives a big smile. And then Swami clicks the button. And we know how Professor Kasturi screeches in horror. Because a cotton mouse jumps out of the camera of Bhagwan and bounces on his neck. And Professor Kasturi, horrified, he yells and jumps. And then Bhagwan, of course, says, what is this, Professor Kasturi? Why do you get so carried away? You are the editor of Sanatana Sarthi. You are editor of the mouthpiece of the message of the avatar. Why do you get carried away by some random newspaper seeking to know, seeking to give you fame. What more fame do you want? What more recognition do you want? You're there right in front of me and you've got this opportunity to do my work. So like this, through moments of bliss, Bhagwan has communicated so many profound lessons. Of course, there is that incident that happened in Ooty when, you know, in the midst of schoolboys, Bhagwan took an empty tetra pack, blew it to the full and quite nonchalantly placed it on the ground and stamped on it jestfully. Thud! There was a glorious thud and everyone wondered who is the notorious one who did it, and you had Bhagwan there. When I'm on children, I'm a child, because he wants us to feel one with him. On one occasion when Bhagwan came to the hostel, this was way back, during Bhagwan's 60th birthday celebrations, and all the boys were busy making so many things to be offered to Bhagwan on his birthday, and there was this group of students who had formed the institute brass band. It was the nascent stage of the university brass band, and Bhagwan one day suddenly came to the hostel and the boys did not have time to even welcome Swami. It was a dash hunt. It was everyone sprinted from mandir as if they were being chased by ghosts, because they wanted to reach the hostel before Bhagwan's car enters the hostel, and by the time some boys reached, some boys just managed to be in the hostel before Bhagwan's car arrived, and they opened the door and Bhagwan came, and then suddenly the boys who were preparing this piece with the band, they arranged themselves in the quadrangle and they thought this is one good opportunity to show to Bhagwan what they have practiced. And so Bhagwan comes and Bhagwan stands there and he tells the students, okay, now start playing. And so they were about to start playing, but then there is something amiss, there is something wrong, because the drummer does not have his sticks. So how do you start? So Bhagwan says, start, I'm waiting, start. And they are not able to start because the drummer is without his instrument. And then Swami looks at the drummer and says, hey, start, what happened to your stick? What sort of a drummer you are? You don't have your stick? How do you play? And then this boy was shivering and he didn't know what to do. He was, no, you cannot go and search. You don't know what happened. He got the drums, but there's no stick. And so he ran helter-shelter searching for the stick. And then Swami said, okay. And Swami was waiting patiently and he went back. He came back tired, exhausted and crestfallen because he could not find the sticks. And then Bhagwan actually started giving now a sweet reprimand. So I'm saying, what is this? What sort of a drummer you are? You want to be a part of the band, but you don't even have sticks, and I'm standing here, you're not even starting the program. All that Bhagwan said, and when they were almost on the brink of shedding tears, then Bhagwan brings his hands forward, which was still now tucked behind, and there were the drumsticks. Can any student forget this beautiful, mischievous, playful Sai Krishna? How he would fill our lives with bliss. In fact, if you go to Bhagwan's younger days, there are so many such instances. How Bhagwan used to suddenly disappear on the way to the Chitravati river, and after everyone gave up searching in sheer fatigue, suddenly Bhagwan would appear from nowhere and there'd be shout, boo! And from inside a bush, Bhagwan would appear and everyone would, like, they would be like shocked. That is how he used to play. In fact, on one occasion when that legendary devotee Sakamma forced Bhagwan to take a tablet, Bhagwan, like a sweet good boy, swallowed the tablet, but after Sakamma went, with a triumphant smile, you know what Bhagwan did? He just tucked at his robe a few times and the tablet rolled down to the floor. Everyone around, all the little fellows who were there around Bhagwan, they just burst into peals of laughter, because that is how Bhagwan He knows how to please the devotee and do what he wants to do. There was one occasion when Bhagwan, you see how he used to be so playful, just like Krishna. In the old Mandir days, there was a couple who were sitting and chatting, and they were chatting in whispers. And after some time, when they were about to get up, they realized that each person is not able to go in their own direction because they are tied. The mischievous Bhagwan had gone from behind and tied the end of the man's dhoti with the hem of the woman's sari. Just like how in the childhood when the teacher asked him to stand up, the teacher's chair got stuck to his, teacher's back got stuck to the chair. Here was Bhagwan himself tying all the couple, you know, they were chatting in whispers so that no one ever knows perhaps what they are talking about. And here was Bhagwan making their whole titiety an entertainment. This is how Bhagwan played. This is how he ensured that there are, our lives are filled with such joy. To love God is not to become serious. God is not someone who is just standing there straight faced with a hand raised only to bless. No, God is someone who is waiting to play with us, who only wants to give us joy. God is someone who just enjoys. He created everything for joy. I separated myself from myself to love myself. And that is what Bhagwan craves all the time. And he created situations so that we also can experience this bliss with him. Again, going back to the childhood days, there is one occasion when, not one, there are so many occasions when Bhagwan used to slip out of his room in the afternoons to the Chitravati sands. Sakama and all the others, they used to watch Bhagwan, they used to guard Bhagwan, they would want Bhagwan to rest. So what Bhagwan used to do is when no one is watching, silently what he would do is he would place two pillows in the middle of the cot and then spread a blanket on it to make it look like somebody is sleeping from a distance. And then quietly he will slip away. So when, after some time, Sakama or someone goes to wake up Swami for his evening snack or bhajan, they would see that there are only two pillows there. Like this, there is no end to the childhood plays and pranks of our Lord. If you have read about a few pranks of Krishna in the Bhagavatam, there are countless such antics of the sweet Sai Krishna. The master of all creation, how he used to bewilder at a petty so-called creation of man. How he is truly the master of creation and the master of illusion, always playing a game because this whole world is a game and a game is supposed to give us joy. And that is what Bhagwan did all the time. But at the same time, as he filled us with joy, he never ever allowed us to just smile and forget. Every moment of joy was accompanied by great wisdom, by great learning, by great spiritual progress, by one step more in our spiritual progress. And some moments were really filled with startling revelations. So we will talk more about these blissful moments with Sai. Let me play for you one beautiful song which was sung by the staff and students of Bhagwan's hospital in Bangalore. And this is all about joy. This is about Anandam. Let's soak in the bliss of Anandam through music and we'll come back to more stories. Ananta Divya Bhavya Anandam. Yes, the Ananda with the Lord is endless. It is Divyam, it is Bhavyam, it is pure, it is the most sacred. And as I was telling you, sometimes so revealing. In 1983, there was a small exhibition that was organized by the students of Vrindavan campus. And so the boys had made various models. And you know, you'd always want Bhagwan's involvement in the model. So if you have something rotating, you will want Bhagwan should put on a switch so that that thing starts moving. And if you are someone who have made, a bulb, so you would want Bhagwan to switch on and the light starts, or if there is somewhere a cuckoo singing, so you would want Swami to touch something and then the song automatically starts, because you know you want some involvement "Oh Bhagwan, your model." So different boys had made different interesting models, and Bhagwan was very patiently going through all these various displays, and then Bhagwan came to the last item, and this was a burglar alarm. So what this does is, there is actually a beam of light, and when this beam of light is interrupted, an alarm goes off. So this was basically a burglar alarm to be used in any house. So if a thief comes, so unknowingly the thief will actually obstruct that beam of light, and so an alarm will go off. So one of the students had made this model, and now he wanted Bhagwan to put his hand into this burglar alarm, because that is how he wanted Bhagwan's involvement in his little creation. So Swami, he said, Swami, please put your hand across this beam. So Swami acceded to their prayer, and Swami put his hand. But nothing happened. And this boy is like shocked. He had checked his equipment and it was working till then. What happened suddenly? Maybe there is some technical problem. Something must have gone wrong. So he checked everything, and he actually put his hand, and that alarm rang. Swami is standing there, and he wanted that to happen when Swami puts his hand, but it did not happen. So he checked everything, and he told Swami, please, Swami, put your hand again, Swami. So Swami again obliged. Swami put his hand, but again the alarm did not ring. Now the boy was dumbfounded. You know, he was perspiring, because, you know, what is wrong with his equipment? Why it is not working when Swami is putting hand? And now, you know, he was feeling very jittery, and, you know, the whole feeling of his equipment being such a failure. You know, his model is not working. When Swami came, he wanted to show his model to Bhagwan, and he was feeling so uncomfortable, and he was feeling so let down, and everyone was looking at him, and everyone was clueless and helpless. They didn't know what to do, how to help him, and why it is not working. And Swami saw this whole situation, and then, you know what Swami did? He suddenly smiled so beautifully, and he said, "Hey boy, I am not that kind of a thief. I am Chitta Chora. I am stealer of hearts, not the stealer of homes and articles." And the moment Bhagwan said this, you know, the whole mood changed there. Everyone forgot that the whole thing was a failure. Now, because of this, everyone remembers that exhibition, and everyone remembers this incident, because Bhagwan said this, "I am Chitta Chora. I am not any ordinary thief." And that is what it is said in the Gita also. He is the greatest among thieves. He is the greatest among thieves, because he is the stealer of hearts. And he knows how to convert any situation into a situation of jubilation. He can convert any sorrow into a string of smiles. He can convert any tragedy into a triumph. And that is what the Lord is. There is a beautiful incident that happened in the primary school, when the staff, the principal and all the teachers requested Bhagwan to come to the school to inaugurate their solar water heater system. See, that is how compassionate Bhagwan is. We have a new tap in our school, and we tell Swami, "Please come and inaugurate." He would do that. We have a new window, Swami, "Please come and inaugurate." He would do that. That is how loving he was. For the sake of his students, for the sake of his devotees, he would do anything. So Swami came to actually just inaugurate this tap. So Swami has to only come and turn on the tap, and warm water is supposed to flow through. So Swami came, and Swami went near this arrangement. He turned on the tap, and now when he turned on the tap, what happened on that day totally left all the teachers of the primary school absolutely clueless. They wanted to actually dig a hole and go inside the earth. Because what happened was, when Swami turned the tap, the whole water actually came and fell on Bhagwan. Instead of flowing from down, it just gushed forth and fell on Bhagwan. It was hot water, warm water falling on Bhagwan's robe. Bhagwan's robe was wet, and the teachers did not know what to do. How they thought that is it, that is the end. That is the end of Bhagwan's visit to primary school, because is this how you treat a guest, and that too Bhagwan? They should have checked the tap properly, they should have checked everything well. And all the teachers, they're all red-faced. They did not know what is going to happen in the next moment. Maybe they will all be checked out of the school, or they did not know. They were all zapped, transfixed to the spot. They didn't know how to react. Because how could they even imagine such a thing happening to Bhagwan? And Bhagwan saw all this. And the next moment, you know what he said? See, I had the first bath. This is what Swami said, and everyone suddenly began to smile. He knows how to fill our hearts. He is a stealer of our hearts and the filler of our hearts with joy. Everyone forgot that day. And that nightmare that day could have been for them. Swami just laughed it away. He knows how to convert even the deepest of despondencies in our life into delights of our life. And I remember on so many occasions, our Bhagwan never also lost this opportunity, as I told you, to beautifully also reveal who he is in sweet manners, in little manners. How Bhagwan used to tell the primary school students, God is like ice cream. When they used to have ice cream, you should say, God is cool like ice cream. God is soft like ice cream. God is white like ice cream. God is pure like ice cream. And then finally Swami would say, God is joy, like ice cream. Ice cream gives joy, God also is like that. This is how Bhagwan used to explain God to primary school children. Every primary school child will remember this, whoever was there on that occasion. Have we heard any avatar tell before? What is God? God is ice cream. Isn't that so amazing? Once when a devotee had brought for Bhagwan a new car, Swami went around the car, he looked at it, he examined it, and just like how it happens with anything new with Bhagwan, even he would examine it, then he will get excited about it, he will go around showing it everyone. See, look at this car, this has this feature, this has this feature, and everything. So he went around showing to everyone, talking about the car to everyone, as if he's found a new toy. And the devotee who had offered this car to Bhagwan, he was watching everything, he was watching Bhagwan's enthusiasm, and you know, he thought Bhagwan is so thrilled, so he wanted to sort of make best use of that opportunity and drive some more mileage out of it. And so he said, Swami, you know what? This car is one of a kind in this world. Swami looked at his face, and without taking his eyes from that person's face, keeping that eye contact, Bhagwan said, this Sai Baba also is one of a kind in this world. Now a child, now a god, now so innocent, now so scholarly, now so excited about a little thing, now revealing who he is. That That is Bhagavan. That is the sweet Lord Bhagavan. Our life will become a child's play if we aspire and if we become that innocence, childlike innocence that Bhagavan always epitomized. Jesus Christ says in the Bible, children have their path to God so easy because of their childlike innocence. If you want to reach the God, become a child, he said. And we have seen how Bhagavan used to use such simple and humorous stories, again in a very childlike manner, just to convey such profound lessons for us. There was one occasion when Bhagavan narrated this Chinnakatha, this little story, as Bhagavan used to often break his discourses. Suddenly he would break the flow of the message with a beautiful pause and then tell a story, just to enliven someone and drive home the point more significant manner, in a manner that will stay in our hearts. Whether it is singing bhajans or chanting hymns or reciting his name, Bhagavan always emphasizes that it should not be mechanical or artificial, but it should be heartificial, it should come from the heart. And Bhagavan always also says that one should have a good understanding of why one is engaged in a particular activity. We should follow the rules, but we should follow by their spirit, not just by their word. Otherwise, all our efforts will just become futile. And in fact, at times, these efforts will actually make a mockery of ourselves. We'll be making a mockery of ourselves if we do not understand what we are doing, if we do not ask the question why we are doing. Apart from wasting our time, we will be actually making a fool of ourselves. In fact, to illustrate this, once Bhagavan narrated a comical story. Swami said, it so happened that an uneducated simpleton once joined a military recruiting center. He was to undergo a few months of training, which would enable him to take a shot in trying to get into the army, get recruited. He had completed just a week of this training, and there was this news that a senior army officer was visiting that center. And he was to interview all the candidates and check the quality of training being imparted to all these prospective recruits. Now, the person who was training these recruits, the trainer, he was worried because his credibility was at stake. Now, he was particularly concerned about this man, this simpleton, whose knowledge of English was as pathetic as his confidence. But this coach, who was an old hand in his job, he thought of a strategy, because he wanted to prove that how perfect he was as a trainer. And he is someone who has watched this senior army officer conduct many interviews before, and he had noticed a pattern in the way he asked questions. So, banking on his many years of observation and he did his internal data analysis and forecasting, and he came up with what he thought was an ingenious solution to the problem of this recruit handling this interview with the senior officer. This trainer thought, this senior officer always started his interview with the question, "What is your age?" That's what he would ask most of the time to the person being interviewed. So he coached this young man, saying, once you enter the room and you take your seat, your first answer to the question that is asked should be 22 years. Because the trainee, he thought the officer will ask what is your age, and this guy should say 22 years. So the trainee had this registered on his mind solidly. Then, this trainer thought, invariably the officer would then ask, how many years have you been at this center? Because this is what he did with most of the guys. So he told this young recruitee, when the senior officer asks you the second question, you say 2 years. So this novice, he nodded vigorously. He said, okay, fine. The first answer is 22. Second answer is 2 years. Got it. Now, this trainer thought, once these two hurdles are crossed safely, you know, probably the officer may not keep him inside for long. So in all probability, his third question will be, are you happy here or do you want to feel homesick? Because this person has been here for 2 years and he's 22 years. I mean, the age is on his side and he's had enough of training. So all the officer will want to know now is, you know, is he willing to continue here? So the third question, which he generally asks, is are you happy here or do you feel homesick? So the trainer was now very confident with his strategy, and the third answer that he taught this young trainee should be is, he should say, both. I am at home here and in my place. So his three answers, first answer is 22 years, second answer is 2 years, and the third answer is both. I am at home here and in my place. I feel at home here and in my place. So the coach virtually drilled these answers into the mind of this sort of ignoramus, I should say, because he did not know a word of English, and he was just going by these hints that his coach had given him. But the coach was very confident. In fact, he was smiling triumphantly because he felt that, you know, his years of coaching had actually enabled him to come up with a pattern and come up with a clear strategy to deal with the situation. And he actually congratulated himself, and he could not wait to see how his word will come out of the interview with equally broad smiles. So when the officer came and he started interviewing, and the turn of this simpleton also came. So he called out his name, and this young cadet, he went inside and he confidently sat on the chair. And now, looking at his gait and his sure-footedness, the officer asked, how long have you been here? And this man, without batting his eyelid, you know what he did? He blurted out as he was coached, 22 years. 22 years? The officer exclaimed to himself, what is he saying? I mean, is he, this center itself was not there a few years ago. What does it mean? He was actually bewildered. So he asked him, Mr., what is your age? And imagine what he said. With that same silly confidence, he shot back. He said, 2 years. Just as he was trained. The only thing is, the officer asked the second question first and the first question second, and everything has now gone topsy-turvy. He said his age is 2 years, and he said he's been getting trained for 22 years. And now the officer lost it. He was disgusted. He was annoyed. He started yelling at him and he said, are you mad or am I mad? What do you think of yourself? Are you mad or am I mad? That's all. There was a volcano which was erupted in that room, and this young man's happy confidence fled. He did not know what to do. He just wanted to bury himself down under the earth because this man had lost his cool, and he was shouting at him. So he asked him, are you mad or am I mad? And this young officer, he shivered and he mumbled, and this young man did not know what to do. He had forgotten what he had to say for the third answer. So only thing that came out of his mind at that moment is the first word of what he was asked to say. He said both. Imagine. The officer now just, you can imagine how the situation would have been. It was a cacophonic catastrophe that had struck the room. Bhagwan says, this is what happens if you go by the word and forget the spirit. Whatever we do. Swami says, don't go by rote, but go through the root of the heart. This is what happens when things, instead of being artificial, become artificial. Like this, in Bhagwan's discourses, there are so many beautiful lessons, and he has conveyed us through these chinnakathas, through these humorous stories, There's another story, again, which Bhagavan narrated in one of his discourses. The Tanisha of Delhi once invited to his court the 8 renowned poets of Vijayanagara. The Tanisha was the king of Delhi, and he once called all these renowned poets of Vijayanagara, of South India. And these poets were asked to describe the distinctiveness of the great epic Mahabharata. So each poet, you know, did a marvelous job of explaining how profound is this epic Mahabharata, and they did it in an attractive manner, each in his own scholastic way. And when Tanisha heard this entire story of Mahabharata, you know, each poet talking in such glowing terms about this epic, he just felt that, you know, there should be a fresh epic. And he, belonging to Islam and finding that there is a epic of the Hindu tradition, and which is so fantastic, he felt that there should be a new epic which should be written. And in that new epic, he should figure as the Dharmaraja. He should be the eldest of the Pandavas. And all the ministers whom he liked should figure as all the other Pandavas. And he wanted all his enemies to figure as Kauravas. So he has given the characters, and he's told, now you write a plot. So he said, instead of Mahabharata, you write Tanisha Bharata. And so all these poets were now asked to do this epic Tanisha Bharata, and they were really not inclined to produce an epic of this kind, because how do you do with this caste? Because it is a very difficult situation, and each poet was thinking how to come out of it. You cannot say no to the king, he is the king of Delhi. And how do you do a Mahabharata with his ministers as other Pandavas and his enemies as Kauravas? It does not match. So the whole epic is so different. So among all these poets, there was this clever poet from Vijayanagara, Tenali Ramakrishna. And when Tanisha asked, who is the one who will take up this task, Tenali Ramakrishna said, I will take up this project. And that was a relief to all the other poets, because they were clueless how to go about it. At least someone has got up and taken the responsibility. In case it does not fulfill the responsibility, then only perhaps his head will go, but all of them are safe. So Tanisha gave 1 week's time to Tenali Ramakrishna to prepare this epic. And the week was coming to a close, and Tenali Ramakrishna had actually not even started writing. 6 days are over, and all the other poets thought, that's it, this is the end of Tenali Ramakrishna, because if you disobey the king of Delhi, you cannot imagine that you can lead a peaceful life. You will actually not even live. So once, when the week was over, by the end of the decreed period, Ramakrishna took a piece of paper and he went to Tanisha. And Tanisha was waiting to hear this Tanisha Bharata. So he had called so many of his friends, you know, to hear that epic where he is the hero. He is the Dharmaraja. He is the Yudhishthira. And he wanted to listen, all his friends to listen, how he killed all the Kauravas and how he is the greatest of the emperors, the righteous king. So Tanisha asked Ramakrishna, is the Bharata complete? So Tenali Ramakrishna said, yes, Your Majesty, it is almost complete. It's just that I have one or two doubts, minor doubts. If you just clarify this, then I will be able to give the finishing touches, and Tanisha Bharata is ready. So Tanisha said, go ahead, ask, what is your doubt? I am here to help you in any manner to complete this epic. Then Tenali Ramakrishna said, this is one doubt, if you don't mind, Your Majesty, I don't want to ask you in public. I want to do it in private. So if you give me 2 minutes of audience separately, then I will get this clarification from you and then I will release Tanisha Bharata to the entire public, the audience there. So Tenali Ramakrishna and Tanisha go inside and Ramakrishna says to Tanisha, Lord, can you please guide me who would fit into the role of Draupadi? You gave all the characters, you know, you wanted to be the Pandavas and you wanted enemies to be Kauravas, you wanted your ministers to be the all the other Pandavas, but who will be Draupadi? Because Draupadi was wife to all the 5 Pandavas. So the person in this role of Draupadi should be the wife of not only Tanisha, but should be the wife of all the other ministers too. And that is how Tenali Ramakrishna put a stop to Tanisha Bharata. He put a stop not only to Tanisha Bharata, but he put a full stop to Tanisha's ego, to Tanisha's desire for reputation through imitation. Swami says, if you want real fame and name, you should follow the path of morality and truth. You can have reputation not through imitation, but by following the instructions and the dictation of the divine. Otherwise, you will be leading an artificial life. To drive home this point, so beautiful story. It flies in the face of all those who want cheap publicity, who want to do few things or want to imitate others just to get plastic name and fame. And how dangerous that is. And how detrimental that is to our progress, to our stature, and how ingratitude we would have been to the Lord for all that He's given to us. How ungrateful we would have been. I started this program saying, Bhagwan mentions very clearly the way to show gratitude to the Lord is to give up your ego and spread happiness like others, like He does. Every moment. So let us use this beautiful opportunity that Bhagwan has given us. Let us count our blessings, and as the 90th birthday approaches, let us fill every moment of our lives with joy. Let us fill every moment of others' life with joy. That is the way to peace. That is the way to receiving more bliss. Fill yourself with bliss. Fill others with bliss. That is the way to bliss. That is the way to Baba. That is the way to Sai. Let me play for you one beautiful song, which is again so joyous, written by Bhagwan himself and rendered by yesteryear devotees. It is again about Ananda. The Ananda of being with Swami. The Ananda of worshipping Swami. The Ananda of spending every moment with Swami. The Ananda of becoming Swami.
సత్యము, నిత్యము సత్యము, సాయి మహిమ సత్యము, బాబా బాబా ఎనగరు భక్తి మనకు కలుగును, బాబా బాబా ఎనగరు భక్తి మనకు కలుగును, బాబా ఆనందమిదే, పరమానందమిదే, బ్రహ్మానందమిదే, ఆనందమిదే, పరమానందమిదే, బ్రహ్మానందమిదే. నిశ్చయం నిశ్చయం ముక్తి మనకు నిశ్చయం, నిశ్చయం నిశ్చయం ముక్తి మనకు నిశ్చయం, సాయి సాయి ఎనగను ముక్తి మనకు కలుగును, సాయి సాయి ఎనగను ముక్తి మనకు కలుగును, బాబా ఆనందమిదే, పరమానందమిదే, బ్రహ్మానందమిదే, ఆనందమిదే, పరమానందమిదే,
yes, this is Ananda, this is Brahmananda. I remember on one occasion when Professor Kasturi was in Vrindavan and he was sitting in the old bungalow, Bhagwan's residence, in a corner. And Professor Kasturi, if you have seen the pictures, he used to have these three broad vibhuti marks, three lines of vibhuti, horizontal flat vibhuti lines on his forehead, and it used to almost cover his entire forehead. So one day Bhagwan saw him sitting there, and there was very little light coming into that room. It was in evening time, and Swami said, "Hey Kasturi, what is that bandage on your forehead?" Because of this vibhuti mark, it was looking like that. And you know what Professor Kasturi said? Amazing person with a great sense of mind and a great sense of fine sense of humor. He said, "Swami, this is not bandage, Swami. This is what will remove me from bondage." And the moment Swami heard this, he was in laughter. He admired so much the presence of mind of Professor Kasturi and the way he handled the situation. And Swami was so much in joy. Professor Kasturi had such beautiful moments with Bhagwan because he was also very childlike. There was so much of purity in him. That is how we can, you know, we can become one with the Lord in joy. If we develop that purity, if we develop that innocence, if we develop that childlike characteristics. Let us become as pure, as clear, and as speaking from the heart, just like a child. This is perhaps one of the easiest ways to connect with the Lord. Become as pure as the child. Then you don't have to think. The Lord's love will automatically flow towards us. So as the 90th birthday approaches, let us purify ourselves and become that pure love that He is. So that pure love that He is just flows into us seamlessly. Pure love, connecting with pure love. We'll continue more on these aspects in the future episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. We'll continue this string of joy, this waves of joy, as we march on to sing this glorious 90th birthday of Bhagwan. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Time to close this session. It's been a beautiful Thursday. As I sign off, you will continue to listen to a Dharma presented by Vidyavahini School, Sri Sathya Sai Gurukulam Academy, Sikkim. This was presented in front of Bhagwan on 10th October 2015. It is entitled, Bhagwan Bina Koi Apna Nahi. Bhagwan Bina Koi Apna Nahi. There is none whom we can call our own other than the Lord. It's so beautiful. Enjoy listening to this. And let us ever remain connected to Sai with a smile, with gratitude, with joy. Thank you so much, Sairam.